DSW semi-annual sale starts now. Twice a year, tons of deals, going fast. It's all or nothing. A designer shoe warehouse will give you something to brag about. Like 40% off clearance in all DSW stores, or an extra 10% off clearance at DSW.com. Don't sleep on these savings. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. DSW, let us surprise you.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
5 o'clock on the East Coast, 2 o'clock on the West Coast. And if you're living on the West Coast, we got some breaking news for you.
We have breaking news on the Zach Gelb Show.
Shams Charania. The Buss family is entering an agreement to sell majority ownership of the Los Angeles Lakers to Mark Walter, the CEO and chairman of diversified holding company TWG Global. Sources tell the ESPN, Jeannie Buss will continue to serve in a role as governor after the sale. Walter has been a minority stakeholder in the Lakers since 2021 and has interests in multiple professional sports organizations, including the LA Dodgers, the WNBA's Los Angeles Sparks, the Billie Jean Cup, Cadillac Formula One team, and the Professional Women's Hockey League. We go to our resident Lakers fan, Stuart Kovacs. Stu, your reaction to this news?
Definitely surprised. I didn't know they were thinking of selling the Buss family, that is. I think it's good. I mean, it can't be bad knowing how rich he is and how much money he spends. So I think it's certainly a good thing.
Two things. We've seen, right, recently Mark Cuban sell his majority share of the Dallas Mavericks. Wick Grosbeck sold, right, the Boston Celtics. So you've had the Mavericks and the Celtics, but really the Celtics and the Lakers sell recently. I don't know, and maybe you guys have a better answer to this. Ain't a little weird that you're buying, right? You are Mark Walter. At first when I read this, I thought it was Mark Wahlberg. I'm not going to lie. When I first read it at a glance, I'm like, Mark Wahlberg's buying the Lakers? Wow. Thought he was a Celtics guy. But you have Mark Walter, who's buying the majority share of the Lakers, and they entered an agreement with the Buss family to have that majority ownership sale of the Lakers. And he's then going to keep Jeannie Buss on in her role as governor after the sale. And the word governor is used as owner in the NBA. I don't know. If I was Mark Walter and I just purchased the Lakers, and I just took Jeannie Buss's majority stake, right? I just paid her and the family and all that stuff for the Lakers. Am I keeping Jeannie, who's obviously well-respected in the NBA, but am I keeping her around to basically be the role of the governor still when I just bought the damn team? Doesn't that just sound a little bit weird to you, Santa?
It depends. I mean, A, maybe it's like a temporary thing so that she can get him acclimated with the organization and the NBA. He's been in baseball for a while.
Well, he's been a minority owner since 2021, Lee, because I know it's different when you become the majority owner, but it's not as if he's doesn't know anyone in the organization.
But I mean, listen, it could also just be one of those things. This guy, clearly he's got his hands in a lot of different pots. You see how time-consuming being an owner is for a professional sports franchise. So maybe he just like doesn't want the headache. He wants to put the money in there for the investment. Mm-hmm. He wants to have all the power and the final say. But Jeannie Buss can run the day-to-day operations.
What do you think Jeannie Buss's net worth is, if I just do a quick search? And this is not always accurate because there's things on the internet that says my net worth is a lot more than what it actually is. I had someone once say my net worth, I think online, was $5 to $10 million. Hot take, it's actually more. No, it is not that much. It is not $5 to $10 million. But what do you think the AI overview net worth is of Jeannie Buss?
Man, I mean, if you're counting the...
Not including this today.
No, but if you're counting the Lakers as an asset, then it has to be somewhere around like $5 or $6 billion. But if you're not counting it as an asset, you're just talking about like what her net worth is outside of the Lakers. I'm going to go like $300 million.
Her estimated net worth as of 2025 is $700 million, Jeannie Buss.
Yeah.
What do you think the estimated net worth is of Mark Walter right now, who's the CEO of Guggenheim Partners?
Let's go $12 billion.
Did I say that correctly? I think
it's Guggenheim. Yes, yeah. That's correct. The Guggenheim Museum.
What'd you say?
$12 billion.
$6.1 billion.
All right.
Now, I'm going to do this. What do you think the net worth is of Steve Cohen?
Oh, Steve Cohen's like
the richest owner in Major League Baseball.
He's like $30
billion? Close. $21.3 billion. Hmm. Could you see Steve Cohen buying the Lakers? Right? I'm just asking. Being the majority owner of the Lakers and saying, you know what, Jeannie Buss, I still want you to run the team. I still want you to be the governor. No, Steve Cohen put his fingerprints all over that baby.
But see, I think that there are guys who own teams who like to...
Be the man.
To be hands-off, yeah. And then there are owners who want to be involved.
Like Dr. Buss was.
Exactly. Steve Cohen seems like he's a Mets fan. He grew up with the Mets.
He wants to be the man.
He wants to be the guy. He wants to be involved. He wants to do press conferences. This guy, Walter, maybe he doesn't want to be like the face of an organization. He just wants to be the money behind it.
How much do you think this is actually going to be the sale?
What's the percentage?
That's a great question.
It depends on the percentage, because the Lakers are probably valued somewhere around, what, $5
billion? Probably $6 billion? More than that.
Not more? I mean, the Broncos went for $6 billion?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I would say, I would guess probably they're $8.5 billion, the overall product of it.
Yeah, but the NBA is not close to the NFL. The Lakers are probably the highest of the NBA teams.
But it's the Lakers.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, compared to the... rest of the NBA, it's very high, but it's probably like $3 billion, $4
billion. Well, how much are the...
Forbes have them at $7.1 billion in 2024.
Okay. And what I'm reading here, Sportico has them at $8.07 billion.
Okay.
So who the heck knows?
All right. But so $8 billion, that sounds about right.
Well, how much did the Celtics sell for? Let's see that. How much did the Celtics...
$6.1 billion.
So do one more. How much of the Mavericks? That was a weird kind of agreement, so I don't know if we're going to get a great answer, but I wonder how much the Mavericks went for. I would say at least $3 or $4 billion, right? I would imagine. I don't know what, you're right, with the percentages and all that, that complicates it. But
$3.5 billion,
right?
And that was 72% of the team.
Oh, wow.
But this was also in 2023, after the sale, Mark Cuban maintained control of basketball operations.
Yes, yes.
So this is similar to the Jeannie Buss thing.
Well,
there are people who want to own teams for the cachet of it, for the investment of it, but not for like, I don't want to like be the guy who's at the sideline.
But also to be clear, you could have Mark Cuban still as your face. Is he still really running the team? Not really, because... this is a guy that said he would divorce his wife first before trading Luka Doncic. And what happened? They ended up trading Luka Doncic.
Yeah, but he also took a step back before this year, too.
Yes.
So in 2023, he was still the guy, but he took a step back. Here's the other part of it, though. She might be the governor of the team.
For now.
But at the end of the day, all decisions still probably go to Mark Walter.
Yeah, and I think that's a tricky situation because she's used to being the boss, right? And now now you're still the boss, in air quotes, but you have a boss. So
I'm sure there's an agreement. Listen, you're the boss, but any big decisions, final decisions, always have to come to me.
He's paying the money now. But this, I wonder why, obviously it's the billions and billions. I wonder why the timing now was to sell the team. That's number one. And number two, I also wonder, what is her long-term future? That's my question. Because like you said with the Cuban thing, it was phrased to us one way, and you're right, this was a similar situation, and look how it's wind up now. Wound up now. Now, ironically, the Lakers now get sold, and the team that now has Luka Doncic are the Los Angeles Lakers. And I just wonder, is this the start of Jeannie Buss really just getting phased out? in the way that we know Jeanie Buss? That's to me is just the question that I have. So, Stu, is this a good day for you, or do you think this is a bad day for you? Because I think status quo right now, you're happy with the general state of the Los Angeles Lakers, the way that they've been operated for the majority of your life.
I think it's good because you add the money in. I think that allows them to not only pay Luka, and they would be able to pay Luka anyways, but they probably won't be afraid of the luxury tax or the second apron now. So I think all in all, you know, end of the day, it's a good thing.
And we don't have the dollar amount here, right? No, there's been no dollar
amount. Not yet.
You want to take a guess how much Dr. Buss, Jerry Buss, originally bought the Lakers for? He bought the Lakers from Jack Kent Cook in 1979. Anyone want to take a guess how much he bought them for?
$12
million. Okay.
I'll say more than that. I'll say like $80
million. $67.5 million. See, that's why the Price is Right could be rotted. Because you said $80 million, right?
I did.
You were closer to the number, but you're over.
I went over, yeah.
Samter would have won being at $12 million. That's why sometimes I've never got... Did you ever understand that with Price is Right?
Yeah, what? If you go over, then you lose. I like that.
Yeah, but if let's say I guess $68 million there. I am as close as could be without getting the number right. But you guessed $12 million, and they award you for not being that close, just that you were under.
That's the Price is Right rules. Love it or hate it, it's one of the longest running shows in the world. Now, George Steinbrenner, by comparison.
Oh, let me guess.
1973.
He bought the Yankees 1973, and that's baseball, but that's when baseball was America's pastime. Huh. See, but the way that you had that look on your face, it would make me think it's less than what Jerry Buss bought it for. Hmm. I'm going to say he bought the Yankees for $85 million.
This is why my guess was $12 million for the Lakers. He bought the Yankees for $10 million.
Mm.
6 years difference, 73 to 79.
The SOB, because I had... Now, you know, I didn't get the guess right. Let's just be clear. Let me take some accountability here. But I remember the number being criminally low. But the way that you said it, you made me think that it was... completely more than, or a good amount more than what it ended up being with the Los Angeles Lakers with Dr. Buss. Yes, Stu.
We have a number from Shams.
Ooh, a number of what the Lakers sold. Now, do we know the percentage?
Does not say percentage, but I'm guessing it's all of it or pretty much based on the number.
Okay, so it's like 100%.
It's a big number.
I'm going to say $9.2 billion. Hold on. You know the number, right?
I know the number.
Samter, do you know the number? No.
I don't.
Okay. I'm going to go 9.2. I kind of want to say 8.7. I'm going to go 9.2 billion. Lock it in.
Okay.
What's your guess?
I'll go $1.
See, but...
Price is Right. Price is Right.
I don't want a Price is Right answer.
Okay.
This is the Zach is Right rules.
I'm
going to
say if she's staying on as minority or as the governor... it's probably like a 70-80% sale, so I'm going to go with 8.1.
8.1. What did the Celtics go for again?
6.1.
6.1. Ooh. You went 8.1?
I went 8.1.
That's a good guess. I'm going to go 8.7, actually.
No. Price is Right. You don't change your answer.
Well, here's the thing. I said lock it in. I was just kidding. Yeah, unlock it. 8.7. That's all. I'm going 8.7. Lock it in. Double lock it. Throw away the key.
You are both under the amount.
Under
the amount.
Wow. So my original guess of 9 point something wasn't terrible.
Still under, but closer.
$10.3 billion.
$10 billion.
Oh, my goodness gracious. The Lakers sold for $10 billion? Stu, you sure that's not Ballsack Sports?
Shams Charania, the verified account of himself.
Oh, my God. Oh, he's entered an agreement to purchase Mark Walter, the majority ownership of the Lakers from the Buss family for a valuation of approximately $10 billion. The largest sale of a professional sports franchise in the world, sources tell ESPN. Here I was a few moments ago saying, oh yeah, they could probably go for $8 billion. It's like, oh, I don't think so. $10 billion. Imagine just being able to purchase something for $10 billion. Just imagine that. Hey, Mark, if you're listening, Zach Gelb, your favorite sports talk show host, 888-710-4ISN, at Zach Gelb on social media, Twitter and Instagram, where I'm always straight flexing and also Twitter's accessible. Why don't you just give me $100,000? I'm just giving $100,000. I'm going to ask for $1 million. Just give me $100,000. Give me a little check, $100,000, and I'll be good. If you want to be nice and go $500,000, you want to be nice, go $1 million, go ahead. I'll just take $100,000 from you. $10 billion. Oh, my God.
Now we know the answer is to why now for the Buss family.
Yeah.
The Walters are like, hey, here's everything you've ever wanted times five.
For $10
billion. $10
billion. God. $10 billion. Does that get wired to you? How does that work? Is that a Venmo? Can you sell that? I would just love to be able to see the bank account. And the Buss family isn't needing to go to a shelter or anything like that. But I would just love to see the before and after, whenever that money comes in or ever her share comes in, Jeannie Buss. Oh my God. $10 billion. If you could own one sports team, I say unlimited funds, right? What's the sports team, Stu, that you're gonna end up owning? Stu's gonna go some soccer.
Oh yeah, probably. Yeah, it'd probably be Liverpool. Yeah,
really?
Yeah, it would. If we're just doing American sports, I would say the Yankees.
Hey, Stu, can I ask you a question?
Oh boy, sure.
Do you fall in love really quickly?
I mean, I did with Liverpool. That's for sure.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Hey, here you are for your
it's my team.
You're 33, 34.
33.
You're 33 years old. For what, 29 years of your life, you didn't give a rat's ass about soccer?
I'd take 26, 27, yeah.
Okay. And now the first team out of your mouth is Liverpool?
It is.
Okay.
Now, I would say Liverpool, if not the Yankees. The reason I would say those two is because I could actually spend the money, like, uncontrollably.
Mm-hmm.
If I own the Raiders, sure, I can upgrade everything, whatever.
But there's a cap.
There's a cap. Same with the NBA. Okay. So those would be my answers.
So yeah. Stu would own Liverpool. Santer, who would you end up owning if you could buy one sports team?
I mean, I got to go soccer also. I mean,
oh, my God.
You know, either Barcelona so I can retire and move and live in Barcelona for the rest of my life.
That would be nice, actually.
You know, I have my favorite England teams, but I don't want to live in England. I want to live in Spain.
Okay.
Or maybe like AC Milan or Roma.
I say soccer is off the table.
Ah, well, then.
Who are you?
I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, it's going to be the Yankees. Always and forever the Yankees.
All righty, George Costanza.
It's going to be the Yankees.
I don't think I want to own a baseball team. And that's like, I want to go to the games. There's 162 games. I know you don't go to every game, but I need something that is once a week. It's football for me. I'm a Patriot fan, so it'd be easy for me to say, oh, yeah, just own the Patriots. So, yeah, I guess I would want to own the Patriots. But I have to be football. I actually think now with the current landscape of NIL, and I know they don't have owners, but I do think it'd be very fun to be the big wig of a college program. You know, not that I want to be Nevin Shapiro, let's be correct here. Or who's the other guy? The guy that Syracuse banished. It's just idiots. They basically had NIL before NIL. That Aaron Weitzman guy or something like that. And then Syracuse basketball. He was bringing Jalen Hurts and Brandon Graham and Brady and Gronk and Fallon. I think Giannis, too, to Syracuse games. And for whatever reasons, they ran him off his campus. So or off their campus. So, yeah, I would say the Patriots. But, man, the Lakers, they sold for $10 billion. Stu, don't you wish there wasn't a salary cap in the NBA, right?
Yeah, it'd be great. It'd be the Lakers and the Clippers spending so much money.
I never get the aprons right in the NBA, but they're clearly going to be well into the aprons.
Yeah, they're not going to care now.
Yeah. There's FU money, and then there's really bleep you money. That's bleep you, bleep you, bleep you money. All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. You know what? My dad hates the Flyers. Hates the Flyers. And he gets so annoyed that Gritty is behind me, Andrew Perloff's Gritty. My dad just texted me unsolicited, listening to this conversation. I would own the Flyers and then move them. That's what my dad. Because I'd purchase the Flyers and then move them. That's really petty. We used to have, what, Pretty Daddy here? Isn't that what Bill used to call D-Cell?
D-Cell, yeah.
Yeah, my dad is Petty Daddy. That is what my father is, and Bob Gelb. Oh, my goodness gracious. All right, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, Bob, Why aren't you worth $10 billion? That's my question. Man, jeez. Imagine being born into the Bus family. I love my family. But no offense. Goodbye to my parents. Goodbye to my sister. Goodbye to my brother-in-law. Goodbye to my aunts and uncles. Goodbye to my niece. Right? Goodbye to all of them. If I could have been born into the Bus family. $10 billion. Whew. And everyone has their price, even when it comes to family. I'll see my family this weekend. I wouldn't be saying that if I did. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. We are not worth $10 billion, but the Lakers are, and the Lakers sold for $10 billion. $10 billion. My oh my.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
All right, so I read you the quote yesterday. Now we have the audio, since the audio did surface overnight. This is via Mind the Game podcast. This is LeBron and Steve Nash. This is LeBron talking about ring culture.
It's funny, yeah, I don't know. I don't know why it's discussed so much in our sport and why it's the A-all, be-all of everything. You sit here and you tell me, you know, Allen Iverson and Charles Barkley and Steve Nash, you know, are wasn't unbelievable, like, oh, they can't be talked about or discussed with these guys because this guy won one ring or won two rings or won, like, it's just weird to me. It's like saying Peyton Manning can't be in the same room with Brady or Mahomes because he only has one ring. They don't never discuss that in a sport.
Right.
Or telling me that Dan Marino is not the greatest slinger of all time, or he can't be in the room with those guys because he didn't win a championship. Mm-hmm. They don't discuss those things, you know. Barry Bonds never won a World Series. So. And you can't sit here and tell me that he's not the greatest baseball player to ever touch a bat. I mean, Jerry West, I think, went to like 9 straight NBA Finals.
Right. And, the logo.
And was only able to win one. And he's the logo of our league.
Yeah.
So you can't sit here and tell me that, okay, well, because he only won one, the guy can't be in the same room with the guy who won 2 or 3 or 4. Like, why not? This guy, he's our logo.
I used to really like LeBron. LeBron the last few years has become insufferable. It's just the way that he talks about the game annoys me. And we all know what these comments are about. It has nothing to do with Steve Nash. It has nothing to do with Charles Barkley. It has nothing to do with Allen Iverson. It has nothing to do with Jerry West, the logo. It's nothing to do with those guys. Right? All these guys that he's talking about in this clip. Barry Bonds, nothing to do with him. Peyton Manning, when he brought him up in the Brady Cup, has nothing to do with him. The only reason why LeBron James is talking about this is because he knows the trump card in the Michael Jordan-LeBron James debate is that Michael Jordan has 6 rings. Because when you are one of those creme de la creme athletes, when you're one of those all-time great athletes, when you're one of those generational talents, which LeBron James is, and you're looking at tiebreakers, and when the conversation on who is the GOAT, is it Michael Jordan or is it LeBron James, what's the tiebreaker? It's championships. And I can guarantee you this, if LeBron James had 6 or 7 championships, you wouldn't hear a word about ring culture with him. Not a word. And also, LeBron, you're talking about people being obsessed with the ring culture. You're the same dude when you got to Miami, you said, I'm going to win not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, not 5, not 6, not 7, not 8. So which one is it? You cared about ring culture there, but since now you're probably going to win just 4 championships, which is an incredible amount of championships, you know, maybe you find a way to win one more, even though I don't think it's likely, that you're going to sit here and bitch about ring culture and use guys that have 0 rings or 1 ring and say, oh yeah, like we don't acknowledge them as all-time greats. Everyone says Steve Nash is a great basketball player. Everyone says Allen Iverson's a great basketball player. But it's part of the conversation, right? You're not going to say Steve Nash is better than Magic Johnson. You're just not. You're not going to say in the totality of the career that Peyton Manning was better than Tom Brady. You're just not. You're not going to say in the totality of the career that, yes, Dan Marino's numbers are incredible, but overall, whose career would you rather have, Dan Marino or Joe Montana? You'd rather have Joe Montana. But does anyone say, oh, they act like Dan Marino's some bum? No. Everyone says this about Dan Marino. He's a top 10 quarterback of all time. That's what everyone says about Dan Marino. They say, oh, imagine if he played in this era. Look how stupid his passing numbers were in the era he played. Imagine if he played now. So LeBron pretending to care about guys that don't have rings and the way they're talked about and exaggerating it, it's blasphemous. It's jackassery. It all goes back to him just being annoyed that people go, oh, well, Jordan has 6 and you have 4. That's what it is. Let's hear LeBron when he got to Miami, because this is a guy that does not care about ring culture. Listen up.
Not 2, not 3, not 4, not 5, not 6, not 7.
All right. Why would you? Hey, LeBron, Zach Gelb here, Infinity Sports Network, formerly called CBS Sports Radio. You say you care, you don't care about ring culture. Well, why did you say 7 in that clip in particular? Why don't you just stop at 5? Why don't you stop at 6? It's because Jordan has 6. And he knows he's chasing Jordan. And these debates get stupid. I've said this 9,000 times. I'll say it again. It is my least favorite radio. When we sit here and we go, who's the GOAT? Is it Michael Jordan or is it LeBron James? Give me a call. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Because I've had to do those debates before. And there have been times where LeBron has been talked about and you get someone that just hijacks the show because they're a Michael Jordan fan and they mention Michael Jordan and then the callers just light up the phone lines and it's, oh, Michael's the greatest, he has 6. Look at LeBron James's final record. Or it's, oh, look at what LeBron's been able to do. And Michael, man, he left the game and then came back. And then, you know, it's an era of free agency where that was more prevalent. I've heard it all. What we do is, if you're a Michael guy, you make LeBron out to be a bum. If you're a LeBron guy, you make Michael out to be a bum. However way you want to chop it up, if you want to say Michael's 1, LeBron 2 is fine. If you want to say LeBron is 1 and Michael's 2, fine. That's your preference. But you don't have to say one guy's great and the other guy just discredit everything he's ever done. That's a part of the conversation that's insufferable to me. But this idea that because LeBron does this podcast with Steve Nash, does anyone, when they talk about Steve Nash, refer to him as a bad basketball player? They say, no, the guy won 2 NBA MVPs. He was a fantastic player. And yes, did he win a championship? No. What are we supposed to say when guys don't win championships? We got to be careful and just say they don't win it. They've never won a championship. What's that? It's part of the story. So let's go to Charles Barkley, right? Because Charles Barkley, if there's a guy that is more synonymous with not winning a ring, it's Charles Barkley. Why is Charles Barkley synonymous with not winning a ring? Number one, he hasn't won a ring. But number two, you have Shaq on TV whenever Shaq gets in an argument with Charles. And because Shaq and Charles are so friendly and it's like a big brother, little brother situation, Shaq just throws his championships in the face of Charles Barkley. Does anyone ever sit here when it comes to Charles Barkley? I mean, we may have a few jokes, but does anyone ever think the guy was a bad basketball player? No. No. So LeBron with this nonsense and his insecurities, it's ridiculous. But here's Charles Barkley on All the Smoke podcast back in 2023 on all the ring culture stuff that goes on.
Those are the rules. Mm-hmm. It's like my rules. Hey, I'm in the Hall of Fame, but I'm in a different wing than the guys who won the championship. Mm-hmm. I mean,
You're still in the Hall of Fame.
I know, but I'm saying though, Jack. Hey, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the rules. Like Charles are great. Karl Malone's great. Patrick Ewing's great. They're not at the table with Magic, Bird, LeBron, Kobe. It's levels to this. And I ain't mad at that. I understand that. Mm-hmm. Now, if I could have won a championship, I can go across the room. But the rules are the rules. we have to play by the rules. And this ain't got nothing with motherfuckers on TV who get paid to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, yeah, am I a great player? Yes, I am. I understand that. But there are levels and there's tables to this thing.
And he's right. He's 100% right. You know, there are rich people and there are stupid rich people. Like, you have $500 million. Trust me, we'd all love to have $500 million. Love to have $100 million. I'd love to have $20 million. You're rich. But then a guy walks in and orders about 7 bottles of wine at dinner, and he has a net worth of $7 billion. That's a different level. So you could be an all-time great, and you could walk into the Hall of Fame. You could walk into the fraternity, and then you sit down. And let's just say I'm seated at the table and I look across, there's Tom Brady with 7 championships. I look across, there's Joe Montana with 4 championships. I look across, there's Terry Bradshaw with 4 championships. Bart Starr, right, with 2 championships. Peyton Manning with 2 championships. You know, you go through this, all the Patrick Mahomes with 3 championships. And let's just say I'm a quarterback that has great stats but has 0 rings. Let's say I'm Dan Marino. Am I not an all-time great? Of course I'm an all-time great. But Dan, what are you missing that the other guys don't have? And yeah, the other guys, you may have better stats than some of them, but you don't have a ring. So what, we're just supposed to forget the fact that he doesn't have a ring? Come on. And I understand it's the ring conversation in the NFL is really only held to coaches and quarterbacks. Like, no, Barry Sanders, it's referred to the fact that he doesn't have a ring. Does anyone hold that against Barry Sanders when we say he's one of the greatest running backs of all time? Absolutely not. Does anyone go, oh, Joe Thomas, he's some bum because he doesn't have a ring? No. It's ridiculous. But yes, when you're talking about the greatest player to ever play the sport, and that's the conversation. That's the real conversation. No one's making the case that Steve Nash is the greatest player of all time. He is an all-time great, but he's not one of the greatest players ever. When I say that's like top 5, top 10. Rings matter in that conversation. And the only reason LeBron is annoyed by this is because Michael has 6. He has 4, and that's the trump card for most people why they don't view Michael Jordan, why they don't view LeBron James as the best player of all time, and why he's on most lists viewed as number 2. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We do a news brief next. Update time first. Here's Zach. All righty, it's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day. It is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Jack in Calgary says, Zach, do you consider Connor McDavid now a choker in the finals? You could submit a question by tweeting at INFSportsNet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I wouldn't say he's a choker. I think you just got to call it how it is. He's the best player in the sport. He doesn't have a ring. But you're going up against a team that is on the verge of becoming a dynasty. They've been to the last 3 Stanley Cup final. They have won the last 2. And look, the only 2 victories they got in this series both came in overtime. I think it just shows you how tough it is to beat the Florida Panthers. I know people won't love that answer, but my Rangers team are up 2-1 against these Florida Panthers. And then the Panthers turn it on, and then it's night-night. So I don't view him as a choker. He's just someone without a ring. That's a great player.
I'll just say, though, 4 goals in 13 finals games.
Yeah, but also, let's not – how many assists then, too? The guy had, like, 6 assists or something in this Stanley Cup final. You know, that's McDavid. The guy gets 100 assists a year. Some years he'll score 60 goals or whatever it is, and the other years he scored 30 goals. Yes, he needs to score more goals. Yes, that is a fact, but I wouldn't call him a choker. The other team is just better. There's a difference. Like, the Yankees choked when they were up 3-0 in the ALCS. The Falcons choked when they were up 28-3 in a Super Bowl. Duke choked this year when they were up, however they were, up against the Houston Cougars. The Knicks choked game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. The Panthers are just clearly better. All righty. Let's update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We'll end the show with a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Alrighty, let's start things off. Brad Marchand on quieting the doubters.
Everybody wrote us off from startup playoffs. They had everybody beating us in every round, and we just had that fire, and we knew we had something special. It's incredible. It's incredible to be part of this group right now.
And let's go to Sam Bennett on winning the Conn Smythe.
It's incredible. This was harder than the last time. We put in so much work. I'm just so proud of this group. There's honestly 25 MVPs on this team.
And let's go to Matthew Tkachuk. He says they're a dynasty.
It's unbelievable. Back-to-back, 2-time Stanley Cup champions, a dynasty. I mean, I'm so lucky to be on this team.
Dynasty, is that how we should remember the Florida Panthers?
Absolutely.
I just don't think you could say they're a dynasty yet. They have dynastic qualities, but to me, Stu, isn't a dynasty you win 3 championships?
It's got
to
be 3.
Now, I get it, right? We just like to now just give people things in society when they're not deserved. So, like, we did the same thing with Tampa Bay. They won 2 cups. They also lost their cup final. That matters. Even the Warriors, now, different part. The Warriors are a dynasty because they won 4 total championships. But when you look at the KD years, there were times where people were saying, oh, the Warriors were already a dynasty before they got to 3. They had the first one without KD. Then they lost to the Cavs, blown the 3-1. And then when they got that second championship, like, oh, we're a dynasty. You need one more to be a dynasty. And they ended up getting that one. So I do think the Panthers need one more to say that they are a dynasty. Let's go to Stuart Skinner on why they lost to the Panthers. Here's the Edmonton Oilers goalie.
I think it was just consistency. I think that was honestly it. They played a consistent game. They didn't change once through the whole series. I felt like our game was up and down a little bit here and there.
And let's go to Wayne Gretzky on what's next for the Oilers, NHL on TNT.
They got some questions they got to answer. I'm sure they will. Stan Bowman's won 3 Stanley Cups, and he's been to finals. He knows what he's doing. And listen, when you can build your team around 29 and 97, that's a pretty good start. But I think they have to say, okay, is this our goalie or not? They got to solidify that. You can't go into Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals and switch your goaltenders. That's very rare that it's ever happened.
Here's the thing with the Oilers. Their goaltender situation needs to be better. McDavid needs to score goals. And also, does McDavid want to be there anymore? That's a big question that I have. Here's Eddie Olczyk with us the other day. This is Eddie Olczyk talking about what a new potential deal could look like for McDavid at Edmonton.
I believe if he does sign, I think it'll be a shorter-term deal than a max deal as far as term. Money-wise, he's going to get the max, like I said, $19, $20 million. That's already, that's a done deal. It's like, okay, this is as much as we can give you. This is what you're going to get. But I would look to the amount of years that it ends up being for, and then we can have another conversation after that.
That's the bottom line. If he wants to sign a short-term extension, long-term extension, whatever. But if he doesn't want to sign an extension, and this offseason he goes, no, I need more time with 1 year left of the contract, you have to trade Connor McDavid. which it's a crazy thing to say. Talking about potentially trading stars, here is Doc Rivers on the Bill Simmons podcast on all these trade rumors about Giannis Antetokounmpo.
It's so ridiculous, and I've heard all these, you hear all this stuff, and but you don't like it, you know, when you hear it, because you know it's not true, Bill. But it's still like your players hear and everybody else hears it. That's the only thing I don't like about all this now. It's, I don't know how many more times Giannis has to say he wants to be a Buck and he wants to win a title with a Buck. And it's so cool to me, you know, because it's not the way it's done anymore. But with certain guys, you know, I don't think Steph Curry would ever leave Golden State, ever. And I'm hoping, obviously, Giannis is the same way. That's the way he's been so far, and it's been great. It's been awesome.
You still felt that way, Doc, when Kevin Garnett forced his way to your team? Just when you were the coach of the Celtics? Just saying. It is awesome that Giannis is a Buck. And I think a lot of people, if Giannis doesn't get traded this offseason, they will stop this, oh, is Giannis going to get traded? And stop just taking that conversation and that thought process that he wants out seriously, because how many times are we going to keep on doing this stuff? Let's go to Desmond Bane. He does shade the Grizzlies for their terrible facilities.
It's different, bro. The one in Memphis, we ain't have not one window, you know? So like we joked around and called it the dungeon, you know, but this is... It's a breath of fresh air. I mean, you literally can step outside and get a breath of fresh air and eat on the patio. I mean, there's indoor, outdoor training facility. You know, all the bells and whistles are in here, and it's great, but I feel like the people is really what's going to make this place special.
I'm not kidding. The way he's describing it, it sounded like he was in a prison the other place. Like, oh, it had no windows. Then you go here, you can walk around and... And you can see things. It's awesome. It's lovely.
Nice people saying hi to you.
Yeah, right? Oh, my God. It's like when you get upgraded to when you just have a tax evasion something and you get into one of those like fancy schmancy country club prisons. That's what it sounded like there. Oh, my goodness gracious. How about that? Here is Stephanie White, the head coach of the Indiana Fever, on the Caitlin Clark situation last night.
What explanation were you given for the tech that you got?
I'll take the official questions. There wasn't an explanation for the tech that she got. You know, I think it was pretty obvious that stuff was brewing, right? When the officials don't get control of the ball game, when they allow that stuff to happen, and it's been happening all season long. All season long. It's not just this game. It's been happening all season long. This is what happens, right? This is what happens. You've got competitive women who are the best in the world at what they do, right? And when you allow them to play physical and you allow these things to happen, they're going to compete. And they're going to have their teammates' backs. It's exactly what you expect, right, out of fierce competition. So I started talking to the officials in the first quarter, and we knew this was going to happen. You could tell it was going to happen. So they got to get control of it. They got to be better. They got to be better.
And that's the conversation. The league keeps on allowing players to get away with basically going after Caitlin Clark. So the players are, of course, going to keep on doing this, and then the officials let it get out of hand last night. I don't think she's wrong with what she said. Here's Lamar Jackson if turnovers were the reason for the loss of the Bills.
Nah, because we still had a chance to win. You know, it's football. Everything not going to go our way, man. You know, before it was like, oh, you can't win a playoff game. No, we won a playoff game. We got to the AFC Championship 2 years ago. And we just fell short, like two games short this year. But we're going to bounce back. And when we come back, I feel like we're going to have vengeance on our mind.
Hey, got to catch the ball, Mark Andrews. Now, there's other turnovers in that spot. But if Mark Andrews catches that ball, it's a completely different game. Let's hear Jim Harbaugh. He was on The Herd with Colin Cowherd. What does he want Justin Herbert to change?
No, don't change a thing.
Oh
Do
God.
Not change a thing.
Chris Farley?
About Justin Herbert. He does everything great. You know, everything that he does is don't change a thing. Our challenge is the rest of us, you know, especially the ones on the offensive side of the ball that Justin's counting on. You know, the playmakers, the offensive line, the backs, the tight ends, the coaches, you know, it is our challenge to get to his level. Because in my opinion, you know, his biggest weakness is us. You know, we have to be the ones that rise up to his level.
All righty, that will do it for a news brief right here on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Fun show today. Big thanks for Ryan Hickey joining us in studio. Also doing all the chatting about Connor McDavid and Caitlin Clark and the Panthers going back to back. Oh, yeah, and also Bart Winkler for joining us and giving us his latest on if actually Aaron Rodgers got legally married or if he just said he got married and he thinks he's married, but he didn't go about it the legal way, which was a very entertaining conversation. Final result on the poll question, which has to do about stars, megastars that don't have a ring between Aaron Judge, Connor McDavid, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson. Who wins a championship first? The up-to-date poll results. Let me refresh it. 8.3% Connor McDavid, 21.1% Lamar Jackson, 25.6% Aaron Judge, and 45% Josh Allen. We'll be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. The waiting is over as we will get to game 6 of the NBA Finals. Alrighty, have a great night, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. We'll talk to you mañana. We out. Bye-bye.
Peace. Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.